Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to Exodus chapter 28. Exodus chapter 28. We have been considering 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3, where Paul said, "For I declare unto you the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Let's continue tonight in that theme as we read a number of portions of Scripture, beginning first of all with Exodus chapter 28, verse 3. Verse 2. "And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother for glory and for beauty." Verse 9. "And thou shalt take two onyx stones and grave on them the names of the children of Israel, six of their names on the one stone, and the other six names of the rest on the other stone according to their birth. With the working of an engraver in stone, like the engravings of a signet, thou shalt engrave the two stones with the names of the children of Israel. Thou shalt make them to be set in ouches of gold, and thou shalt put the two stones upon the shoulders of the ephod for stones of memorial unto the children of Israel, and Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord upon his two shoulders for a memorial." Verse 15. "And thou shalt make the breastplate of judgment with the cunning work. After the work of the ephod, thou shalt make it of gold, of blue, and of purple, and of scarlet, and of fine twined linen shalt thou make it." Verse 17. "And thou shalt set in it settings of stones, even four rows of stones." Verse 21. "And the stones shall be with the names of the children of Israel, 12, according to their names, like the engravings of a signet. Every one with his name shall they be according to the 12 tribes." Verse 33. "And beneath, upon the hem of it, thou shalt make pomegranates of blue, and of purple, and of scarlet, round about the hem thereof, and bells of gold between them round about." A golden bell and a pomegranate, a golden bell and a pomegranate upon the hem of the robe round about. "And it shall be upon Aaron to minister, and his sound shall be heard when he goeth in unto the holy place before the Lord, and when he cometh out, that he die not." Would you turn, please, to Leviticus chapter 16? Leviticus chapter 16. And verse 3, "Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with a linen mitre shall he be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on." Would you come over, please, to verse 22 of the same chapter? "And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited. And he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. And Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall put off the linen garments, which he put on when he went into the holy place, and shall leave them there. And he shall wash his flesh with water in the holy place, and put on his garments, and come forth, and offer his burnt offering, and the burnt offering of the people, and make an atonement for himself and for the people." Would you turn, please, to the book of Leviticus, Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 7. And verse 23. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 23. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Turn the page, please, to chapter 9 of Hebrews and verse 24. Hebrews 9, verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Amen. The book of Leviticus is that beautiful picture book of truths brought out in the New Testament scriptures in the book of Hebrews. Before the law was given, the head of every family was a priest before God. But when the law was given that condemned the people, God called out a certain family from which would come those men, after meeting certain qualifications, who would function as priests in the presence of God on behalf of the nation of Israel. Now, it was and still is God's plan and purpose to make of Israel a kingdom of priests. But that has not been realized as yet. It will be in a coming day. But God has set aside his dealings with the nation of Israel in that way. And we read in the New Testament scriptures that we who know the Lord Jesus Christ are a kingdom of priests. That is, what Israel has obtained not because of their disobedience, we have obtained in and through the Lord Jesus Christ because of his obedience. Peter tells us in his first epistle, chapter 2, that we are a holy priesthood. We are to offer up spiritual sacrifices, that is, the giving of thanks with our lips continually. As holy priests, and everyone who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior is a priest. We are a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices, but we are also a royal priesthood to show forth his praises, his grace, day by day. When God called out this family from which would come those ones to be priests to represent the people of Israel, God gave instructions that these priests would be clothed with certain garments so as to show forth the perfections of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we read about Aaron in the Old Testament scriptures, clothed with these garments of glory and beauty, we have a beautiful picture there of our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in the book of Hebrews, we read that Christ is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. But he executes his priestly office after the pattern of Aaron and the other Old Testament priests of whom we read. And so, in order to understand what we have brought out in the book of Hebrews, we have to look at this picture book, the book of Leviticus. And there we have some beautiful pictures of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done and what he is doing now. Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. And we rejoice in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ah, but he lives at God's right hand. And he ever lives to make intercession for us, and we rejoice in his unfinished work. So, in Exodus chapter 28, we read about the priest clothed upon with these garments of glory and beauty. We read about two onyx stones, one on each shoulder. And they were put in little pockets, and there were six names engraved on one stone, and six names engraved on the other stone, so that when the priest, and in this case Aaron, went into the presence of God to represent the nation of Israel, he carried with him the names of the tribes of Israel upon his shoulder. Six on one shoulder, six on the other. We also read about the breastplate and the precious stones there. And on the breastplate, or should I say in the breastplate, there were 12 stones. 3 stones across, 4 stones down, 12 in all. And there was one name engraved in each stone, so that the names of the tribes of Israel were collective upon his shoulders, but individual upon his heart. A beautiful picture of our great high priest, who is now in the presence of God for us, bearing our names upon his shoulders, bearing our names upon his heart. But we also read about the hem of these garments of glory and beauty. And we read there was a pomegranate and a golden bell. A pomegranate and a golden bell around the hem of that garment. Pomegranate and a golden bell. And we read that this sound, the sound of the golden bells, was to be heard when Aaron went into the presence of God, that he die not. That sound was to be heard. Imagine that high priest dressed with those garments of glory and beauty. As he approaches the tabernacle, as he goes into that first room, and imagine the sound from those bells that was heard that day, and every day that he wore those garments of glory and beauty. And that sound was to be heard that he die not, we read. Well, we read in Leviticus chapter 16 about that great day of atonement, Yom Kippur. On that day, a sacrifice was to be offered for the nation of Israel for all of those sins for which no sacrifice had been offered. And we read of many sacrifices throughout the Old Testament scriptures. And the Jews were to offer trespass offerings when it was necessary. Sin offerings when it was necessary. And the voluntary offerings. There were many sacrifices offered. Whenever a Jew committed a sin, he was to offer a sacrifice. What about those sins that the Jew and all the Jews were not aware of? How were they forgiven of those sins? No sacrifice had been given. And thus we have the great day of atonement when a sacrifice was offered for the nation of Israel for a period of 1 year. And we read that the high priest was to go into that first room. And picture him now wearing the garments of glory and beauty with the golden bells on the hem of those garments. And picture that priest going into that first room and imagine the sound from those bells as he goes in. And in that first room, where no one could see him, he would remove those garments of glory and beauty. And the sound of those bells would stop. And he puts on the linen clothes. The high priest offered a sacrifice for himself and for his family. And then two goats were taken. Lots were cast to determine which one would be for the Lord, which one would be for the people. The one marked for the Lord was taken and slain, and the blood of that animal was sprinkled upon and before the mercy seat there in the presence of God. And the blood of that animal, along with the blood of the bullock, was sprinkled upon the altar without. And you read through Leviticus chapter 16 and consider all that the high priest did that day in making atonement for the sins of the nation of Israel. Imagine yourself being a Jew. Now, with names like McDonald and Woodhouse, that might be a little difficult. I've met quite a few Scottish people and Irish people, and, well, it's good to be in the family of God, isn't it? But think of yourself as a Jew. And realize that your acceptance before God depends upon the sacrifice that that priest is going to offer for you. Your acceptance before God depends upon the work that this man will do for you. If he is accepted, if what he presents before the Lord is accepted, then I'm accepted. Suppose he dies. The sound of the golden bells was to be heard that he die not. Suppose he dies. What's going to happen then? What's going to happen to me? He's my representative. He's doing the work on my behalf. What's going to happen to me if he's not accepted? And I am sure those Jews who were sensitive to the things of God were very alert, deeply concerned about all that was taking place that day. And they watch that priest as he goes into the holy place. They hear that sound, and then the sound stops, and they wait. And finally, the priest comes out of the holy place, and he's dressed in the linen clothes. And he goes about doing what he needs to do that day, that he might be accepted and all whom he represents might be accepted before God. Say, in that case, for a year. After his work was done, we read in Leviticus chapter 16, the priest would go back into that holy place, that first room, and there he would remove the linen clothes, and he would wash himself, and he would put on him once again those garments of glory and beauty. I think if I were there that day, I would be waiting to hear the sound of those golden bells again. Now he has taken the blood of these animals. He has sprinkled this blood for himself and for us, for me. And he's gone back in now. I don't hear anything. Is he dead? Is he accepted? Wait a minute, what's that? Oh, there's that sound of the golden bell. Hallelujah! He is accepted. And all that he's done for me has been accepted. I'm sure that was a wondrous sound to those waiting to hear it. Now, dear people, let's think about that. And let's think about this blessed one, our great high priest, who has entered into the presence of God for us. And in him we have a high priest who lives forever. In our blessed Lord and Savior, we have an unchangeable priesthood, an uninterrupted priesthood, an undefiled priesthood, an unending priesthood, an unlimited priesthood. Those Old Testament priests did not continue by reason of death, but this man lived forever. And if God accepts what this man does on our behalf forever, then we are accepted forever. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And He was buried according to the Scriptures, as we saw last night. Will God accept all that He's done? Will God accept Him? The third day comes. Is it all over? Some thought so. They were heading back home. Is it all over? Is that the end? No, listen to that glorious sound of the golden bells. He's alive. And God has accepted all that the Lord Jesus Christ has done on our behalf. The Jews of the Old Testament, as they waited to hear the sound of those golden bells, knew when they heard that sound that their representative was alive. Those wondering people knew that that one who had offered a sacrifice on their behalf was alive. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and God hath highly exalted Him and given Him that name which is above every name. He's alive, a living, glorified Savior. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I am crucified with Christ. Paul, what do you mean by that? You're crucified with Christ. You were not on that cross with Him when He died. What do you mean, crucified with Christ? Paul would say, as he does say in his writings, His death was put to my account. Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. Paul would say, oh, that day on the Damascus Road when I had that personal encounter with the risen Christ, His death was put to my account, and I'm crucified with Christ. We read in Romans chapter 6 that we are buried with Him. We read in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, if you therefore be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. And those of us who have received the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior know from the Word of God that when He died, we died. His death is put to our account. We are crucified with Him. We are buried with Him. But we are alive in the living Christ. And so that sound told the wondering people that their representative was alive. That sound told the worshiping people that their representative was active. The Lord Jesus Christ died for us, but He lives for us. When they heard that sound, they knew that the priest had removed the linen clothes and that he had put upon him once again those garments of glory and beauty. And they knew that their names were upon his shoulders, collectively, and their names were upon his heart, individually. Now listen, the Lord Jesus Christ died for us, died for our sins, was buried, He rose again the third day, and He has entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God. He's not only alive, He's active. And we have the assurance from the Word of God that His shoulders are strong enough to hold us collectively. His heart is tender enough and, shall I say, big enough to love us individually. Think of that priest there in the presence of God with those garments of glory and beauty and those precious stones upon his shoulders and those precious stones upon his heart. His shoulders bear us there in the presence of God. Shoulders speak of strength, don't they? Scripture tells us that his shoulder, and it's in the singular there, in Isaiah, his shoulder shall bear the government of the world. But remember the good shepherd who went to find that lost sheep. When he found it, he placed it upon his shoulders. And oh, thank God, we're in that place of safety and security. And we can say, by the grace of God, our names are engraved upon his shoulders. The Bible tells us that we are accepted in the beloved. In Ephesians chapter 1, is it verse 6? We are accepted in the beloved. Paul didn't say we are accepted in Jesus. That basically would have meant the same thing. He didn't say we are accepted in the Savior. That basically would have meant the same thing. But he said we are accepted in the beloved. As he writes by inspiration of God, he uses this endearing term to convey to us that we are accepted as the Lord Jesus himself. Because our representative is accepted, we are accepted. And because he is alive forevermore, we are accepted in him forevermore. I'm telling you, I must confess, I don't know how some people, those who do not believe in the eternal security of the believer, can get around some verses. The Bible tells us we are members of his body. When we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we become members of his body. And Paul in Ephesians chapter 5 tells us, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And then he goes on to say that he might present it to himself, that is this church, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And if one believer were to be lost, Christ would not have a perfect body. If one member of the body could be lost, then Christ would have an imperfect body. Never happened. As we said the other night when the Lord Jesus prayed that prayer, the high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, he said, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. And his prayer will be answered. If one believer doesn't make it, his prayer will not be answered. And listen, dear friends, for anyone to no longer be represented in the presence of God in that day would mean that someone would have to go into that tabernacle and remove from his shoulders that precious stone and remove from the breastplate that precious stone with the name engraved therein. And I say this reverently, if any one believer were to be lost, then someone would have to enter into heaven and remove from the body of the Lord Jesus Christ those precious wounds. Isaiah tells us in chapter 49 about the names being engraved in the palms of the hands. And the Lord Jesus, our great high priest who has entered into the presence of God, has wounds in his hands. In John chapter 10, he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no one is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And as the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest, opens his hand, we realize why no one is able or could ever be able to pluck us from his hand. Because when the Lord Jesus Christ opens his hand, there's no piece of paper, no precious stone that falls with their names engraved upon it. As he opens his hand, we realize why no one can take us from his hands, because in his hands are wounds. And we oftentimes sing my name from the palms of his hands. Eternity will not erase. Engraved on his heart, it remains in marks of indelible grace. And for me, one who has received him as my Lord and Savior, and one who knows from the Word of God that he is my representative, for me to no longer be represented in the presence of God, someone will have to go there and remove those wounds from his body, because my name is written in those wounds. And this blessed one has entered into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. And our names are written upon his shoulders. Collectively, our names are written upon his heart individually. And oh my, so much could be said about that. Our names are engraved on the palms of his hands. Yes, to the wondering people, the sound of the bells said, he's alive. To the worshiping people, that sound said, he is active. And to the waiting people, that sound said, he will soon appear. He will soon appear. And our blessed Lord and Savior is there in the presence of God for us, and we know that he's coming again. When we go to Luke's Gospel chapter 1, you remember that was Zacharias there in the presence of God, and he was made dumb. And the people were outside waiting, you remember. They waited and wondered why he was so long. They were waiting for their representative to come out. And he came out and couldn't speak. In Leviticus chapter 16, after the high priest had done all that was necessary on that great day of atonement, in making a sacrifice for his own sin, for his household, and for the nation of Israel, after doing all of that, then he would offer a burnt offering, a worship offering. And all the people waited to hear that glorious sound. They waited to know the work was done. They were waiting for their priest to come back out to them. And we are waiting for this one who is now active there in the presence of God for us. I must confess I was somewhat surprised. It sounded as if you did not know that song that we sang earlier. Let me read the words once again to you. By faith I look where Christ has gone, and see upon his Father's throne a man with glory crowned. His brow is marred, and on his side, whence flowed the cleansing crimson tide, the marks of love are found. Here is the record of the past, fruit of my sins that bound him fast to that degrading tree. In every wound I read my guilt and thank him that his blood was spilt to set my conscience free. I look again and now I see that blessed man engaged for me, his hands uplifted high. Before the throne of God he pleads, God's great high priest. He intercedes and so preserves me nigh. What love he washed my sins away, thus boldness in the judgment day for me there doth remain. What grace now occupied with me, he wills I should his glory see when he returns again. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He fulfilled all of the sacrifices, all of the types and shadows that were offered throughout the Old Testament days. He offered himself once for all. Priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which could never take away sin, but this man, after he offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God. And those of us who know Him as Lord and Savior know that glorious sound that tells us He is alive, He is active, and He will appear. Perhaps it will be soon. Oh, it's wonderful to be saved, isn't it? It's wonderful to know the Lord Jesus Christ in that personal way. To know that He paid the sin debt, He shed His precious blood, and His death is sufficient for time and eternity. And all that He did for us. And when we receive Him in that personal way, it is put to our account. Listen, my dear friend, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ is sufficient for the world. It's sufficient only to those who receive it. I believe that. And it's wonderful to know that your sins are all forgiven. It's wonderful to know that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. And all that He has done has been accepted. And thus, because of our personal identification with Him, we are accepted. And because He is accepted forever, we are accepted forever. That's wonderful. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Are you saved? Is there one? In this audience tonight who's not saved, would there be more than one who are not saved? Oh, if that is the case, my dear friend, we plead with you to turn from yourself, to turn from your works, and look away and see this one who died for you, who was buried, who rose again, and who is now seated at God's right hand above. And it is our prayer that you will trust Him as your Lord and Savior. Shall we pray? Father, once again we thank Thee for these portions of Thy Word that we have considered tonight. These portions of Scripture that have brought to our minds these wonderful pictures of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank Thee, Father, that He went to that tree, that He bore our sins in His own body upon that tree. We thank Thee, Father, that He paid the infinite price. We thank Thee that His sacrifice was sufficient. He died for us, and Thou didst accept all that He accomplished there for us, all that He did. And Thou didst raise Him from the dead, and He is alive, He is active, and we believe He will soon appear. We thank Thee and praise Thee for Him. And oh, may we be drawn closer to Him tonight, may we have a deeper appreciation for Him. And we commend each one here to Thee, praying Thy richest blessings upon us. In the Savior's wonderful name, amen.